for 25 years. Nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use three kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey guys, Michael Malice here. Be sure to check out my weekly podcast, You're Welcome with Michael Malice, now on Podcast One. You might know me from my terrible Twitter, my horrible books, or the nonsense I spout on podcasts like Rogan and Glenn Beck. It's all there. Are you black-pilled or white-pilled for the future of the UK? What is a man? Are you white-pilled or black-pilled? No, seriousness, girl.
No, I love the Jesse Lee piece of question.
The fact that you discovered that gives me hope for some of the things that I've still got that are missing.
Well, if you need James G. Blaine's autograph, you are welcome to it. Of course, being the co-author of How to Have Impossible Conversations makes you the perfect guest for this train wreck of a show. New episodes are available every Thursday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and wherever you get your podcasts. You are welcome.
Hey guys, welcome to CarCast. We're going to go over a few things. We're going to talk a little bit about new McLaren Hybrid. Some of those specs are coming out pretty soon. Dig into a little trip we went on. We all went to Atlanta. Oh, and quite a bit more. Let's get into it. But first, here's Geico. Would you love to save money on insurance? Well, of course. Who doesn't love a good deal? Well, when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even homeowners, condo, and renters coverage. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24-hour roadside assistance, and the switch to Geico becomes a no-brainer. Switch today and see how you can save. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent. Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndre, here with Bill Goldberg. How's Texas?
Well, hotter than dog shit. Man, it's ridiculous, but
it's starting to get
the 100 degree heat three times a day, and I'm sitting inside complaining. So I mean, it could always be worse.
So we missed each other in Atlanta. You went out with Gage the week after I went out for the PFL event that Bravago sponsors, and we're getting closer to having products, some supply chain issues. What a big pain in the ass. It seems like everything that should take 60 days takes 5 months. But I promise you, we're getting closer.
No matter what it is.
Yeah, it just doesn't matter. Every other beverage company I've talked to in the space that's new, right? Like anybody that's new like we are, they have the same issues because they just don't have like the buying power and, you know, the clout with a lot of the vendors that are out there. So, you know, we're nudging everybody as the best we can, but the hard seltzer will have out available online pretty soon. And we have this great, you know, CBD seltzer, which we'll tell you guys about more. No alcohol, no THC, different type of product, but really good stuff. So the PFL event that we went to, we've got some of their fighters are going to be brand ambassadors for us. Our guy Shoeface, Antonio Carlos Jr., he did a great job. He's the reigning light heavyweight champion. He won his match. He won his fight. He's going to move on to the playoffs. And I got a chance to speak with him for a few minutes. By the way, just a fun, charismatic guy, very genuine, really wants to make a name for himself in this sport. And he's a good fighter. You saw him fight. He's a good fighter. Like he's an athlete, you know?
Oh, absolutely. It was, I haven't seen a PFL event in a little while, and it was good. I tuned in over the weekend, and I was looking for you in the stands, but I definitely saw the Bravago on the mat and the pad, the corner pad.
On the corner pad and in the and on the mat of the cage. And when Antonio came into the ring,
soon we'll be in the place. Soon we'll be in Bud Light's place.
You know, when Antonio came out to fight, the whole event, I was there with one of the other sponsors. This is Next Level Water. Good guy. His name is Toby. He owns that company. We're both sponsors. He's the official water. We're the official hard seltzer. And the whole time, we're like, I don't know. There's these screens everywhere, just monitors and screens. And the whole thing gets – the whole room gets animated, you know, with – you know, like at any live sporting event when you're there on site. I'm like – I didn't see my logo start going crazy on all the screens. And then I realized because our guy is in one of the main events, you know, he's the, you know, the basically the second to the last fight. And then when he came out and he got in the ring, the whole place just blew up, just bravado everywhere. And I was like, there it is. There's our money. Yeah. And Next Level Water, those guys, their guy fought as well in the next event, and then it kind of blew up with his logo. But we were sitting there for 3 hours going, I didn't see my my logo pop up everywhere. It's like, what's going on here? But you guys were out the week before. You took Gage to school, literally.
Yeah, literally. Man, you know, as a parent of an athlete, of an aspiring collegiate athlete, we try to provide them as many opportunities as possible. So we worked his ass out for 4 days with an ex-Falcons teammate of mine and then took him up to the University of Georgia up in Athens and let him work out with the team and see a little bit about how monstrous all the kids were. And, you know, had a great time, man.
So
it was awesome.
We talked to him a little bit on the podcast, I think last week as we were heading out and got a little heads up from him on his Bronco and stuff, but how did it work out? Like, you know, listen, Gage is a big kid. He's an incredible athlete, but you're right. When you throw him into the big leagues like that, it could be a little intimidating.
Yeah.
But although you relate, right? You've been there, you know, when you were younger.
It was more of a, it was a reaction of all those people because they haven't seen him since he started growing like a weed. I mean, he was a short, chubby little kid the last time they saw him. And then they throw him into the workouts with their freshmen. And man, he hung with everybody. It was great. I mean, he looks like a midget compared to him, but he'll grow in time. But it was awesome, man. It was awesome. Things don't phase Gage, all the shit that he's been through. It's seemingly he has no nerves when in a tense situation. So he just jumped in, man. He had a great time. Great time. Experiences like that are invaluable. You know, you can't pay for that. So
the conversation on the way home was he a little more like, you know, that felt good. Can't wait to go. Or was he like, you're right. Those are some big kids. We got some work to do over the next 2 years. Right. Cause he's got two more years of high school.
Oh, he doesn't eloquate it. He doesn't like download the experience, just like on to the next one. Yeah. So sometimes it's like, it doesn't phase him, but what it does is it motivates him. You know, I mean, not that, there were kids in there that made me look like a flipping midget. I mean, there, you're talking 6'8", 340 pound, 20 year olds.
Yeah.
18 year old. I mean, it's like the land of the giants. It's a whole different deal.
Yeah.
I mean, not only when I was there, but just the normal human walking down the street isn't 6'8", 340.
Right.
So when you got like 15 of them next to you and you're running with them and you're stretching with them and you're working out with them and you're 16 years old, you would think that would intimidate him, but it doesn't. You know, he just jumps in and does his thing. And that's why it's refreshing to put him in a different setting like that so that he can see what the top of the heap is like. But it doesn't frustrate him. It doesn't do anything but motivate him. So
yeah, well, that's good.
You know, yesterday we drove up to Austin and he worked out with Derek Johnson, the guy who played 14 years in the league, 9-year all pro with the Kansas City Chiefs as a linebacker. And we worked with him for 2 hours and then he came back and you know, went to hitting practice, and it's just one thing after another. This kid's like impenetrable. It's pretty good.
But I miss having so that much energy.
I never had that much.
Way back in the day, that gym was impressive at the college.
Oh my God. That's 60,000 square feet. Impressive. It was unbelievable. I mean, it's just.
I saw the photos and stuff that you were sending over. I was like, man, that's an impressive place. When you came home, did you call the guys at Metron back up? And you're like, we need to rethink this gym in the garage. Please
I don't have any more room, number one. But yes, I'm acquiring two pieces that I saw at George's gym. They're going to go on the roof, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Speaking of the gym, I had a great conversation with the CEO of Century Martial Arts. Mm-hmm. You know the brand. They make the bags, they make the gloves, they make the workout mats, they make all this great stuff. They're in gyms and training centers all over. Really great stuff.
And they have been years, man. They're top of the line equipment for sure. I've used them for a long, long time.
And a great family business. It's been in the family for forever. It was really great to just kind of spend some time and just talk about that side of the business and how they grew it. And I think they're going to do something fun for us and make a couple of the bags, you know, with the Bravago look like a Bravago can, but he was telling me again, he's like, listen, he's heard you're building out your garage, you're building out your gym. And when you're ready, let's talk about what you need, some of the gear you need, a workout mat, the bags, the gloves, and chances are, you know, you probably were going to end up with Century getting stuff from them anyway. So let's have a conversation. We'll get some good branding and get some custom stuff made. And they make all of their stuff here in the U.S. and they've got their big printing facility on site, so they can print the canvas and all that. However we want, so we can make yourself a Century and Bravago branded gym, just in case.
What just came to my mind? You got these water holding units out here because everybody's got wells.
Yeah,
and I've seen a lot of them painted, whether it's the Texas flag or whether it's like, you know, emulating a can of beer, Pabst Blue, or whatever it may be. Maybe we do a black one and do the Bravago logo on.
Yeah,
they're like 20 feet high.
Tammy always says, she's like, you know, you're in the Midwest because every town has a giant water tower when you're driving through the Midwest. And I was like, yeah, let's just paint our logo on every one of those things. There's got to be a company that does that, like that sells sells the space on every one of those. All right, so. Another thought. I was just over at the shop over there, and you know, Sean that works for Adam is always, I don't know, he's always wheeling and dealing and stuff. He's got a parking lot full of trucks that he's cutting in half, and he's making making them short, making them long, making them bigger, making them smaller. And he's got a cool project where he's got like this old school like big dually truck. It was like a, you know, like a long bed dually. Mm-hmm. And he's turning it into like a short bed Suburban, but with the full giant dually in the back and the giant tanks, like the side fuel tanks that are a step to get in. It looks like a semi truck.
And like an F-550 or something.
Yeah. It's kind of like that, but an older school Chevy. And he's got some really, you know, he's got the renderings for it, really cool stuff, where I think one of the big, you know, fuel tanks on the side, that's like also the step to get in, is going to be like a water tank for an intercooler. He's got a big block Chevy that he built. He's got a turbo on it and some cool projects. So, but also, you know, he's does a lot of work on the side for various people, and not everybody pays their bills. So Sean is also like the best repo man. So anybody that doesn't pay their bills, he's always like, confiscated another car, confiscated another truck. I'm going to put a lien on it. He's got 30 days to pay me. I don't even know the whole story, but he's very good at doing that as well. I'm not sure.
Sounds like a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah. And
a hell of a lot of fun.
So it came to my attention that there is a Mustang project, a 67 Mustang project over there. Not that I need another Mustang, but it sounds right. Like it. So it's an unrestored car and it's a little rough, but all the pieces are there. It's not a matching numbers car. So it can be a hot rod. You can turn it into whatever. You don't have to worry. Right. But the interior pieces are there. All the hard to find, like chrome trim pieces and all of those things are there. It's a clean title. It's a fastback. It's a 67 fastback. So it has pretty much all of the pieces there, but whatever, it runs like shit and it leaks fuel. And there's a little bit of, you know, somebody kind of cut up the front end suspension a little bit, which, you know, if we did something with it, we'd cut all that crap out anyway. So I don't know, just, kind of caught my attention. Seems a little interesting. Might.
Yeah. Sounds like me driving to Austin yesterday in the back roads of Texas, finding out that the Martin brothers are about 45 minutes or actually about an hour from me, their shop. Talked to Joe yesterday. The one time that I literally almost drive by, he's delivering a car in Dallas. So I didn't stop by. But on the way there, I see an establishment was closed. They must have had 10 completely stripped out military Hummer H1s.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's like, I wonder how many times it's going to take for me to pass by that place before I pull in. You know? I tell you what, dude, the back roads from here to Austin, I must have seen four or five places that as a automotive picker would have been absolute nirvana if I would have stopped.
Yeah.
So, wow. It's amazing what's out here.
I know the thought is, for everybody listening, everyone's thought is, why don't you finish the project you're already working on? I agree.
No, that's fun.
And that's fun. So here's the thought. Here's the thought. You guys know I have the red 93 Cobra working on that. We had Pro Charger on the other day. We had a conversation about the pulley kit that, the brackets for the blower. Am I going to make it or are they going to make it? Cause they said they're getting closer to a kit, but I still haven't seen the goddamn kit. I haven't even seen a sketch. I don't know if it's going to do what I need to do, but, my friend Chris Brown, who's been working with me on designing, you saw the CAD files and the 3D printing of the door handle and the mirrors, which we're getting closer on. The next project would be the blower bracket if ProCharger doesn't come up with a solution on their own. So, yes, we'll move forward with that project. And then, yes, I have this other Cobra that was waiting in the wings. It's sitting at Bodie Stroud's shop. It's a unibody shell, but it has an 03 Cobra independent rear in it. It's got the full Maximum Motorsport suspension, Flaming River rack and pinion, Brembo brakes. So it's a project car for sure, but it's got good bones on it now. And we do have the sheet metal for that car. And it's good and it's interesting. So there is the thought, although the red 93 Cobra and that car would be a bit different, they're still 93 Cobras. So what if I sold that project out there and then just did the 67 Mustang project at some point? When I say do it, what I mean is get the car, put it in my garage for 3 years, and then think about it later.
It's such a cycle, isn't it?
It is.
Like when a project kind of stalls or the momentum isn't to our liking, we tend to rationalize the situation
I don't know that one of those projects would get done faster than the other. So that's not the issue. Is get the red car done and then the truck, right? The Lightning, which I think we did an update on this like a week or two ago. Maybe you were out that week. I got all of the front suspension in from Epic Rod and Custom, the group out of Canada, right? They did a whole front half, basically a front clip, custom fabricated K-member upper and lower control arms. We adapted a brand new Flaming River rack and pinion steering from a Fox Body Mustang on there. So no more of the steering box and all that. It's all good. We've been working with JRI on the shocks. We talked about the adjustable suspension that we're putting in it so we can have our track mode and our street mode and our drag race mode. It was all measured to fit those shocks, which I have, and the controller for it. What we were waiting for was I told you guys about that bearing. There was like a bearing floating off in the middle of the ocean and off of Long Beach for like 9 months or whatever. It seemed like forever. We got the bearing in. They finished it. And the sway bar, we had to wait forever to get a sway bar made. We ordered it a long time ago, but it took about, I think we ordered it in November. Right. And then it came in, I don't know, about 4 weeks ago. And so we got it wrapped up. So it was shipped. I have it. I haven't even unloaded the boxes. The whole front suspension and all the pieces are on a pallet in my warehouse. Now I'm trying to get some of the rear suspension pieces, which is a little bit easier, right? It doesn't have some of the complexities, the spindles, the rack and pinion steering, and a lot of the geometry. Fat Fender Garage, which is a great place in Arizona. They do a lot of Ford trucks, a lot of early Broncos. They work with Porterbilt for their chassis, who's also in Arizona. So Porterbilt does a lot of the chassis. Fat Fender builds the cars out of those chassis. But they have a four-link suspension for the rear that does fit my year truck. It's a four-link that obviously eliminates the leaf springs, has a Panhard bar, and has a notch kit on the frame so we can adjust the height. So it allows me to go to a coilover setup. It allows me to lower the vehicle and not hit the frames. So it's a notch kit with the four-link and coilovers, but we already have the coilovers from JRI. So I reached out to them. You know, I spoke to them a year ago, and they're like, yeah, we love what you're doing. Let's do it. And then understandably, I guess I ghosted them for a while, and I was like, sorry guys, supply chain issues, I don't have a truck to do all this shit onto. You know, so they went on with their lives until they got an email from me last week, and I said, hey, I'm back. I need that four link now. So getting a little closer with those things, but I don't know. I mean, second
we go back to audio that when you stated you weren't going to do very much to your Lightning.
Yeah. Well, that would have been a few years ago now. So there's like a statute of limitations, I think. I think that's how that works. I don't really know what the time frame is. But listen, I did stick to my word, and I've been driving the truck the whole time. I drove it here today. I've been driving it the whole time. I just spoke to Richard Waitis over at Magnaflow, and the Mustang Mach 1 is sitting in his showroom down there. I just got the tires mounted on the HRE wheels, but they're at my shop, so I'm going to do the swap on them. I just got to get it back up here. So once I swap the vehicles, then I can do work on the truck and drive the Mach 1 a bit, but then the Mach 1 has some more shows to go through, and I'll drive the truck. So I would say before I take the truck off the road and start like engine swap suspensions on the big stuff, that wouldn't be able to happen until after SEMA, which, you know, looking at the schedule of the past few years, that's coming up very quickly, right? Everything's just dragged on the past few years. So once the Mach 1 makes it to SEMA, then I get the car back, and can drive it all the time without worrying about smashing up all of the carbon fiber. I mean, you're still going to worry about it, but I don't want them to put all this prototype stuff on the car and then, you know, I put 4,000 miles on it and it's got rock chips and dings and stuff. You know, I do want to drive the car, but it needs to look good if it's going to go to their booth at the SEMA show. So between now and the beginning of November-ish, I'm just going to try to bring in the rest of the parts needed for the truck and then finish building the engine. I got to paint it. The short block's built. The head's ready. I got the cam in, got it all dialed in, degreed the cam and all that. I got to paint it and then put the heads on, and then that'll get us closer. Then I'm going to just do, which I believe is the smart thing, is I'm going to take the truck. I'm going to load all the parts in the back, and I'm going to drive it over to his shop. I'm going to probably drive it over to Galpin Auto Sports, who's been working on the truck quite a bit, and go, here you go. Just go ahead and put it together for me. There's a few other things I'm doing between now and then, right? Things that I can do on the truck without a lot of downtime. We are doing the one-piece glass conversion. July 5th, it's going in to finish up the doors, and then we're going to finish the mirrors. I'm going to finish the door handles and some of the custom stuff that we're doing. And Aeromotive is working on the fuel system. We got the two fuel tanks that it's at their shop, and they're designing a fuel system that's going to support the power and allow me to switch between the two fuel tanks on the fly. Not a lot of people have the switching mechanism. Now, my truck currently has two fuel tanks, and there's a switch where you can switch on the fly, but none of that can support the volume of fuel and the amount of power that we need. So we need to come up with a beefier version of the whole thing. And also the cool thing about the two fuel tanks is if we wanted, we can run two different types of fuel, right? We can run 91 octane and drive out someplace in one tank and then run some racing fuel in the other tank and carry some with you, right? Let's say if we're doing a track day or an event or something like that, and you can't get, you know, race fuel or something out there, well, you could drive to the event. You can always top off your 91 octane and just carry, you know, 14 gallons of the racing fuel with you, you know, if we can get it shipped to the garage. So it's kind of cool to be able to have the two.
I wish I had two. The Demon.
Yeah. Well, that's more of an MPH issue, right? Or an MPG issue than anything else, which I do have that issue with the truck as well. I mean, we're not exactly trying to.
Well, it's a horsepower issue with me.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'd run, you know, you got race fuel in one where you can hit the button and you'll have 840. And then you got, you know, the regular, I'm doing super unleaded in that one. So you only got 808. You know, with that. So it'd be nice to not have to run the 110 or 114 all the time and just use it when you want.
Right. Are the power modes in that tied into the two keys, like the red key and the black key, I guess? Like if you use the red key, is it?
I would have. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I've never used the black key, but yes. Yeah, it limits it.
Yeah.
I don't even know if a Demon comes with the black key. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's a good question. You're going to have to dig around your junk drawer because you never used the black key. If it came with one, you never were like, fuck that key.
I have old drawer full of black keys. I don't know which ones they're to. But
they all say Dodge on them.
Useless to me.
Yeah, they all say Dodge on them. All right. So speaking of the TRX, the second TRX, what's the schedule on that? Yeah.
It should be here. Hoping it gets here before I have to leave on Thursday to Houston so I can drive it up there. So it's off the rail. It's on a truck. It's just, where did the rail unload and how many stops are there between there and here? So my luck, it'll get here Thursday afternoon, right as I have when 2 hours after I have to leave.
Yeah, that's just the way it works. It's the way it works. Yeah. Every time I go out of town, that's when like FedEx delivers or there's like a freight and a truck outside. I'm outside your place. I just left. I'm gone for 2 days. We're like, all right, we'll try to reschedule. It's like, God damn it. That's always the case.
They did that to me. That happened to me a week and a half ago. It's a very long story, but we ordered a treadmill. And the company that delivered it took about a month to get in touch with me and to coordinate the delivery. Well, they delivered it when Wanda and I were both leaving town. They left it outside of the gate and it got stolen.
Jeez. And to be fair, it's rare for both of you to be gone, right? Because there's a zoo there.
Oh, yeah.
And it's tough for, you know, for the family vacation to happen, because then you got to bring in a team of people to feed the zoo.
Yes, and we came back with another animal. How's that?
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
An animal at Gage's last baseball game. I literally, after they won the tournament, I was walking from my seat to the bench, and I almost stepped on a bird, a baby bird that was on the ground, and I looked down, and it moved. I thought it was dead, and it moved, and it looked at me, and I'm like, oh, shit. Here we go. Here we go again. And so, lo and behold, I told Wanda. She went and picked it up, and his name is Franklin, and he's in the other room.
He's in the other room. Yeah, I can see you guys going to a baseball game, and Wanda goes, I'm just going to go to the concession. You want anything? You want a water or something? Sure. Comes back with a goat.
Exactly. Yeah.
Also, I found a goat. Here's your water. I found a goat.
I had to get a freaking hotel room for the kangaroo. You can't make this shit up, dude. You just can't make it up.
I saw the kangaroo eating his breakfast the other day. It looked like he was eating a bowl of cereal. I don't really know what he eats, but it looked like he was eating a bowl of cereal.
As we speak, my Father's Day present is arriving, and it's a Brahma bowl.
An actual bowl? Yeah. That sounds like more work, you know. It sounds like for your gift is chores. You give you a lot of chores. You know, right? All right. So
it's heaven, man.
The McLaren Artura, right? This is the
it's like my old 360, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be honest.
It's not a flagship vehicle for them. It's just their lower priced, you know, more entry level price, if you will, latest version of a hybrid. So not a McLaren P1. It's not $1 million. I think it's like $235,233, something like that.
It's a cool looking vehicle for sure. And in that, it's funny, in that space, that's pretty affordable for a McLaren, right? And so it looks like a pretty damn good. Except for what you can go 11 miles on the chart.
Yeah. Is it 11? maybe it's 11, or could it be. I got to find that.
It's 11.
Yeah, I think it's 11. Yeah. But, you know, it's supposed to. So it's V6. It's the 120 degree twin turbo V6 combined with an electric motor. It's got a little battery. What are we coming in at? We come in at 671 horsepower, 531 pound-feet of torque. And there's the people in Europe where McLaren's been doing a few presentations, a few drives with the thing. But you know that Ferrari has been coming out with their stuff as well. They've got their 296 GTB, a similar V6 setup, a battery, you know, hybrid motor, I think a lot more expensive. But how do they start to go head to head? Well, weight's going to be a big issue, right? So the Ferrari comes in at 818 horsepower and the McLaren at 671. But the torque is 546 versus 531. So not a huge difference in torque. So I'm not sure what's actually producing the torque or not producing the torque. Maybe in Ferrari's case, I couldn't say for sure, but it sounds like McLaren has a pretty robust little electric motor that's helping to contribute with that torque number.
Mm-hmm. Makes
you
sense.
Know, I assume Ferrari is as well, but their higher horsepower number, maybe they're just getting more out of the gas engine. We don't really have all of the specs on it yet, but the Ferrari comes in at about 3,700 pounds, and the McLaren at 3,300 pounds. So the performance between these cars isn't wildly different when you just look at the numbers. You know, they're both have 0 to 60 around the 3-second mark. They're both going to go a little over 200 miles an hour. You know, now it's mid-range power and how it handles on a course and how fast it is around a track. We don't really know how that's going to be. I mean, as a fan of McLaren and Ferrari, I tend to think that Ferrari is going to be the superior product in this, but I don't remember what the Ferrari costs. I think it's going to cost a lot more. But look, as you said, and as you said, this car doesn't have the full, you know, catalog of technology that some of the other McLarens have had, like, you know, the dynamic suspension with the, I think, the hydraulic sway bar set up. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really have that. It's got something a little bit more conventional on it. Now, it doesn't mean...
Yeah, they couldn't have done the price point where it's at.
Right. So this is meant to replace, like, whatever, the 670 or the 650 or the 570, and not really a 720S yet. But this hybrid technology could find its way into those cars. And then, you know, what are you going to get from McLaren around that $400,000 to $500,000 range, right? And then maybe there's a supercar after that. But it's interesting, and it seems to really perform well. So going to be looking forward to that. We like the guys at McLaren a lot, kind of looking forward to being able to drive one of those. Speaking of crazy supercars, Pagani, the Pagani Huayra, which we've seen for a while now. They use the great V8 engine from AMG. They get a hell of a lot of power out of the thing. And they decided to do a long tail version of their Huayra. And it looks cool. They've got a lot into it, carbon fiber body. They said they had two customers that wanted a long tail version. I'm not sure how two even came up. Maybe the first one and the second guy was like, can we do something different? And they're like, I'm thinking about doing a long tail. It looks cool. It's wildly over the top. The gauges and the mechanics and the interior of the Pagani is always very cool, very artistic, very mechanical. The car is going to be $7.34 million. They're going to make five of them.
How many?
Yeah, they're going to make five of them. I assume those first two customers, those are accounted for. Maybe you can get a hold of one of these other ones if you got a lot of money. But here's the interesting thing is, you know, Pagani still uses a big V12 from AMG. It makes 840 horsepower and 811 pound-feet of torque. But their use of lightweight materials, titanium exhaust, carbon fiber body, carbon fiber tub, all this stuff, this car only comes in at 2,820 pounds. This thing is less than 3,000 pounds with that kind of crazy horsepower. And I know the long tail is more of a top speed car. I don't know that they put that number out, but I don't know. This has to be like a 230 mile an hour car, right? Like 220, somewhere around there. I mean,
I would hope so, but I don't know where my thought process is on that car. I mean, the thing is cool looking.
Is it $7.5 million cool looking?
Nothing is. No way.
Right?
No. Huh? Yeah, it's a typical Pagani. I mean, it's badass. It's a work of art. I mean, there's no question. And I mean, the lineage of the long tail, their version. I mean, it's a cool looking car. But I mean, the numbers should be outstanding for $7 million. It should go 330 miles an hour.
Yeah.
But it's like a painting. It's like a Picasso. It's a work. You know. I mean, they have a completely different niche, I believe, than anybody. Who compares with them out there?
I don't know. I mean, I've always thought like Pagani and Koenigsegg are often in the same conversation. Not at $7.5 million or $7.25 million, but you and I are fans of Koenigsegg. super smart guy. I love what they're doing with their technology. Where Pagani makes his cars very special, really on the design side, that interior and stuff.
His interior looks like it was made by a jeweler. You know? I mean,
that's just a good analogy.
It's like a Swiss watch. It's just absolutely unattainable by anybody else. But I believe so.
And Koenigsegg stands out with technology, his like camless or whatever valveless engine, and his little tiny, I forgot what he called it, the tiny giant or something, that little engine that's going to go in the Gemera with the hybrid technology, and it makes incredible power. And of course, he's looking at it going, oh, we can get this into the aerospace field. This is the smallest, the most powerful small engine, and it's fuel efficient. He goes, imagine this in some smaller planes, what you can do with it. Mm-hmm. So he's got his sights set on many other things. Mm-hmm. His hybrid technology, his small electric motor now, that's, you know, I don't know, the size of a lunchbox. I mean, he's got, you know, right? He doesn't have sort of that Swiss watch on the interior like Pagani does, but under the skin, the technology is fantastic. And, you know, I haven't driven one, so I can't really say for sure, but you know, what we've read about and what we've seen in person at a few events, and the few times that we've had Christian von Koenigsegg on the show, we filmed some TV stuff with him, and he did the podcast with us, and he really kind of got into it. And then, you know, halfway through the conversation, Adam's like, "Why don't you run for president?" He loved that guy. He's like, you should start running countries. And he's like, "Yeah, I don't want to do that." He's like, "I want to build cars." But it's kind of an interesting thing. A little bit of the car news, or some, not bad news, but not necessarily the best news. So Ford is recalling some Mustangs, I think, in the 2019 to 2021 Mustang GTs. If you have a GT with a manual transmission, there's something going on with the computer and the rev matching. The computer is starting to, I guess, I don't know what's triggering it, but over time it's the engine computer and the transmission aren't really having a good time talking to each other, and they're going, what gear are you in, and what are we doing with the rev matching? So I don't know. Maybe you're going to get a recall notice on this. They'll fix it. Maybe in the meantime, don't rev match or turn that off, and just kind of, I don't know, reach out to your dealer if you haven't already. I think the recall is going to cover about 25,000 cars. So you might be on the list. I don't know how many manual GTs they sold over those whatever 2 year period, but that sounds about like all of them. So that's 25,000 sounds about all of them. Rivian, the R1S. We've seen the Rivian pickup trucks. The R1S, I always thought was kind of cool, potentially as a future product. But then that's the SUV.
Good looking.
Yeah, it's cool looking, and if it's got similar proportions and stuff to the truck, which we do see around here quite often now. Anybody that got an order in on that, chances are you got a letter or some email from them saying, hey, you know, we're having a few issues, some supply chain issues. We're trying to prioritize the trucks. There's going to be some delays from you know, a month or two to several months. I get it. There's some issues there, but you know, I hate to say it, but you know, when Elon Musk tweeted, you know, a while ago when he was like, "Congratulations, Rivian, on your IPO. Keep in mind, you got to make cars now, and that's the tough part." He was not wrong. He was not wrong. This is the tough part. They took a little bit of a hit with their branding image, you know, when they were going to like raise the prices of everyone's order, and they had to backtrack on that. So, you know, that was a little bit of a optically, the optics on that were not the best. And I think they've got some work to do.
I think with this round, it's so much, people are just so used to it. It's not really going to make the wave that the first one did by any stretch to me.
I mean, look, if there's, if there's any consolation for Rivian, it's they're not the only one that are sending out these letters and saying your shit's delayed and this and that and a few issues here. I mean, I got the letter from Ford saying the Lightning was delayed, you know, when they told me it was going to be. And by the way, they didn't say when it was going to be delivered. I got another letter going, still working on it, no date. I got a no date. You know, it was supposed to be like September, and I have no idea when it's going to happen. So they're not the only one there. The Rivians that are being delivered, I haven't dug into it too much, but I am curious on how are the vehicles performing? Are they built well enough for a brand new company in a first year vehicle, to be fair? You know, cause you know, Lucid is in a similar boat where, you know, Alistair was saying he's got such high hopes for Lucid, but you know, if he had to make a decision based off of the one that he drove, he would say, you want to wait a little while because that car had a lot of, you know, manufacturing issues and software issues and some build quality issues. And not that these aren't fixable issues. They're all fixable issues, but you know, we've always said, like, people have always asked anybody who's a car guy going, hey, I heard about this new car coming out or this new car coming out. Not a new a new model, not a new company. You know, like, hey, the new Mustang's coming out or the new Silverado's coming out. Should I get one? Or should I wait a year or two for them to get the bugs worked out? And I would typically say, if you don't need one right away, yeah, wait a year or two. But also in that world, it's like you'll also be able to get one a little cheaper, either new or used, some lease returns, some things that are in pretty good shape, maybe save a couple of bucks. Now, the used car market is nuts right now, so the chances are you'll pay more for a used car than waiting 9 months for a new car. But let's assume that not part of the equation, right? Yeah. So when you're a new company with a new vehicle, you might want to wait a couple of years before you jump on that bandwagon. Or like a lot of early adopters, you just have to be comfortable with the fact that you may be taking your car in for service more than the average car. And I'm not saying it won't be covered under warranty. I'm just saying for some people, they're fine with that. And for some people, they're like, it's my only car. I don't have the time to drop it off for a week or so or a few days or 2 weeks to get warranty stuff on it done. And then the hassle of back and forth to the dealer, right? So, you know, that's...
Yeah. And then there's people that, you know, have different reasoning. You know, I mean, what percentage of the people who buy first-year cars are considering resale value down the road? You know, the first Rivian 20 years from now, I mean, if it goes well, or if it doesn't go well, I mean, you know, but then there are pluses and minuses to each, whether you get the first or whether you wait 2 years and, you know, save some money. But there are a lot of people that want to be immediately satiated when a new vehicle comes out. They want to be the first person to drive it, and they want to have that fun in that first vehicle. You know, but for other people who are much more practical, waiting is definitely the better option.
Right. I mean, practicality isn't quite what we do here. You and I have been, you know, staring at a new vehicle with eyes wide open like a kid on Christmas morning, right? Going, man, did you see this? Did you see this? That car looks cool. Or like, oh, I cruised by the auto show. Or I always had, you know, I'm still enamored with the new Z06. Now the C8's getting its bugs and stuff worked out of it, you know, when the frunk was opening and stuff, but it's hard to walk past a Z06 in person. It catches your eye and you're like, this is an over the top Corvette. This thing is cool as shit, you know? And if the numbers come in anywhere near, you know, performance numbers, you know, if it's got the reliability and you can beat the hell out of that thing on the track, which is supposed to be the big deal with that thing, is that car is cool as shit, right? Is it going to have first year bugs? I certainly hope not, but we all hope not, you know, but you
it's
know,
that wistful thing. And it's always the grass always greener on the other side. Oh, well, you know what? This company's going to get it right. They're going to, they're going to make it happen in the first year. There's going to be no bug. Bullshit. Everybody's going to have bumps in the road.
Yeah.
Look at Lucid. I mean, because the package is so attractive, it makes us overlook certain inadequacies in the first year because we want the end result so bad. I'd love to have, you know, that Lucid 100%, but my desire to want it to be perfect means that I'll take a few of the inadequacies in the meantime
just
to get to the result, you know?
But you got a TRX, so kind of went in a different direction there, didn't you? Lucid versus TRX.
Well, because the Lucid isn't, no question, but the Lucid isn't, yes. I couldn't have the Lucid out here. I couldn't, and it still doesn't make me not want to have the vehicle, right?
Right.
It's just not practical out here.
Although, I mean, that being said, 2 years from now, they get the Lucid, they get the bugs worked out, they make a really cool car out of that thing, your garage is built, you know, you've got EV hookups in there, that's a cool car to have. You get the big power one, you get good range out of that thing, and, you know, it's quiet. I mean, you're running around town, you know, you can get, you know, let's say you're getting 450 miles out of that thing. You can take it home, put it in the big garage, and plug it in, and it'd be quiet and fast as hell. That's a cool car.
Yeah, that's why I've salivated over it for the last 2 years.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's what you can wait on that for me, because the end result is such an attractive package. I can deal with, first of all, not having the first edition. And second of all, you know, since I am waiting, then they can get all the kinks out and fix all the bugs, and it'll be ready to rock in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. All right. Let's say we'll wrap it up. We got to hand the studio over to the next crew. So, man, is there anything else we're missing?
No, I can't have. Oh, the Levrak guys got a hold of them. Can't wait to see their product. It was funny because I searched a couple images online, and the first freaking one that popped up was yours.
Yeah, that's good. Sweet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm looking forward to having those guys out to check out the structure and see what they can do.
Yeah, you're going to dig their stuff. I'm happy with it. It turned out Brad Fanshaw got some, Aaron Hagar got some, and everyone that's picking up is like, you're right. This is a pretty cool setup. And everybody configured theirs different.
Practical.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it's practical.
When I got the system, and I just keep thinking, maybe I should get another one. that's all that goes to my head right now. So, all right, guys, let's go ahead and wrap things up. Appreciate you listening, as always. Have a good time. Until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Would you love to save money on insurance? Well, of course, who doesn't love a good deal? Well, when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even homeowners, condo, and renters coverage. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24-hour roadside assistance, and the switch to GEICO becomes a no-brainer. Switch today and see how you can save. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent.
For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.